alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. The new notes you just picked up, hopefully. Philippians 3, 15. All right, it is our custom at Maranatha Church to give believers the opportunity to make sure that they are where they need to be with regard to their spiritual attitude in fellowship and ready to concentrate on this portion of what we have, the mind of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together in obedience to the directive to grow in grace and knowledge. We thank you for the environment. We thank you for everything you provide us with in the midst of the current conflict in which we are engaged. We pray that you'll bless our time together and give us understanding and capacity for the information covered. In Christ's name, amen. All right, starting with verse 15, Paul issues a summons to the Philippians to achieve the same mindset that he has recently in the preceding verses expressed here. So, to the exegesis. Let us therefore draws from the previous in light of, that's the idea behind therefore. Therefore draws a conclusion from what precedes. The inferential conjunction, O-U-N, therefore. Therefore, well, let us have this attitude is the verb, as you can see, with all this in between. So the let us part we'll pick up here in a second. As many as are, in the translation, as many as, which limits the field from the general congregation to those that are in the bracket of maturity or mature thinking. As many as, nominative plural of the pronoun H-O-S-O-S, as many as, the translation are perfect. Now obviously there's different types of perfection or completion. The word is an adjective, teleios. Depending on the context, depending on the subject matter, it can mean perfect. The perfect law of liberty, referring to the Word of God. In that case, perfection, the Bible, the Word of God. In that sense, you can use it. It also is a word to describe spiritual maturity, and we'll pick up on that. Have this. Well, we have this, the pronoun houtos, this. Have this attitude. Let us have this attitude. We have a present active subjunctive, first plural. Phaneo. Phaneo is a verb which means to think, to have a certain type of thinking. The translators here have chosen to let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, and recognizing that everybody isn't going to be in the same bracket with regard to the understanding of spiritual matters, that could be based on new to the truth, newly exposed, not there yet in terms of understanding, and if a different. This would indicate and this is a first-class condition. Different is heteros. Heteros is the Greek adjective for different. God, So you have to kind of, God, if you have a different attitude, again, I said and you do have a different attitude, some of you, he's recognizing that. He's recognizing that everybody isn't, for whatever reasons, are not on, that are the recipients of this letter and are in this congregation, because new people come in, you know, over time, you have new people lining up with it, and they can't be expected to have the full understanding or that high level of understanding, what I'm trying to say. God will reveal that to you also. All right? God will reveal. Future active indicative. Down the road, he will reveal. We have the verb apokalypto, to reveal or disclose something. God will reveal that also. This also, which the teleos crowd has. The teleos crowd are the mature or advanced believers. The others, he's not putting them down here at all. It's just a fact. You can't expect people to, you know, be in there for a short time and figure this all out. Even if they are diligent hearers. You can't expect it. It's unreasonable. There is so much that needs to be communicated and revealed to bring people to this level. So, God will reveal. That's a future indicative. Down the road, he'll reveal this to you also. This is what? That attitude that marks a believer as truly in the doctrinal mode and firing on all cylinders, so to speak. Not that those believers don't have things they can learn. We all do. But they are really on top of what the Christian way of life is all about. And all the and the doctrines contained therein. So that's how he uses mature here. And then he ends those two verses with an attitude of keep on keeping on. You've got here, so let's just keep that attitude. Don't go another way. However, we have a conjunction, P-L-E-N. However, meaning as things stand. See, verse 15 divides the congregation into two groups, as pretty obvious to me. And I'm not talking about the second group as bad believers, corrupt believers. I'm not at all. He's not at all. This is the healthy group within the congregation that are still sticking with it. And as I said, new people coming on board cannot be expected to be able to understand and articulate these things. And have that really locked in attitude that we have already, that we've noted here in the preceding verses, where he uses himself as an example of what it's going to take to attain the prize, what kind of things that are in his thinking. Thinking that, I haven't got the prize. I'm not qualified for it yet. I've got to finish this up. But that is the focus. And what you have to do to end up in that enviable situation. However, let us keep living by the same standard is in italics. Let us, excuse me, keep living to which we have attained. Now, the Greek here is, however, into which, relative pronoun, that same standard. The same is also a pronoun, autos, that same standard to which, and we have a present active infinitive with a definite article, stoikeo means conduct, and then to which we have attained is the aorist indicative of pathuno. Pathuno means to attain to something. So the standard to which we have arrived, let us keep on with that, is the point of verse 10. 1. Paul now proceeds to exhort the Philippians to sustain the same pattern, and this is a pattern of thinking and behavior, with regard to the Christian way of life that he has detailed for himself in the preceding verses, where he reveals his own spiritual frame of reference and priorities that, if maintained, will secure the prize. Kind of an awkward sentence, but that's the point, is that he uses himself, and in using himself, he denies that he's arrived in a bracket where he's got it made. He also says that, in any case, I keep pressing on so that I can achieve that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Uses the same verb. And again, his disclaimer. His disclaimer is, and we all recognize this as believers. This is just something we'd all probably agree on. Nobody would be silly enough to think, you know, I've arrived and I'm okay now and I don't have to do anything or whatever. There's a future ahead of each of us. And the future will determine whether or not we're going to see this through and go through all the things we have to go through in this life, good and bad, and maintain that. So he has the disclaimer, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. But this is what he does. I forget what's behind. That's yesterday. In the sense not of amnesia, but in the sense that I don't let it have any bearing on what I'm doing now. I don't beat myself up because of failures and things about yesterday. That takes maturity to do that. And because you all have a past. And in that past, let's say, there are significant failures as a Christian. You cannot allow those things to undermine you in any way. That's your past. That's yesterday. The idea is a forward focus. Get up each day, you know, and stick with the plan, regardless of what the day offers you, good and bad. All your tests, all your trials, all these things. And the stronger you get, the easier, believe it or not, it will be. You just see these things as not dragging you back, dragging you down. That was yesterday. It happened. You know, we go forward. That's refreshing. No amount of wallowing in the past is going to change anything. Nothing. That's yesterday. Grace covers us on those things. I press on. And again, and he keeps disclaiming, everyone would look at him and the great apostle and how phenomenal he is and everything. No, look, I haven't qualified yet for this crown. I have to finish my life under God according to where I'm at. And as I noticed, you noticed he saved the big punchline for verse 14. What is all this that you've been not expressly saying? The prize. Because the prize will say it all. And the prize to get it requires obedience, faithfulness, positive volition for however long God gives you when you arrive at that understanding. Therefore, draws an inference from Paul's own mindset to the believers he exhorts. Because all these believers, they've come this far under Paul. They had a future out ahead of them, just like he did, like we do. Let us have this attitude expresses a wish or desire. As many as are perfect refers to those who are in sync, have the same mindset of their spiritual leader as per the section beginning in verse 7, actually. Clear back to verse 7, at least. into verse 7, where he says, the mindset is, the things that I once considered gain, I put them in the loss column. And these things don't mean anything to me. They are useless in making this maturity adjustment. And that was his human accomplishments as a Jew in Judaism, as a Pharisee. All these things that he greatly depreciates. And that's very important, because all that stuff has nothing to do with the maturity adjustment and getting the prize. None of it. None of the human accomplishments, achievements that people have in the cosmos, that has nothing to do with the maturity adjustment. They don't add one thing. A very important thing to note with all the people in the world all pursuing all this stuff. It has nothing to do with the maturity adjustment. And the ultimate prize. So, as many are as are perfect, teleos, again, as I said, this word can mean something that's complete, as in a project, complete, perfect, mature for a believer, refers to those who are in sync with Paul's mindset, verses 7 through 14. The adjective is used in connection with emulating God the Father. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, how are you going to be perfect like God is? Get in fellowship and apply doctrine. And when you do that, you're perfect like God in heaven is perfect. You're here, you're in fellowship, you're taking in doctrine, you have self-discipline to do this. You came under nice conditions, under adversity, whatever the changing weather is out there in your life, so to speak. And it changes a lot. You keep on doing the same thing. You emulate God. So we are to be like our Heavenly Father, Matthew 5:48, where Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, that takes some doctrine and some understanding. This word teleos is used for the will or word of God in the verses cited here. The perfect law of liberty in James 1:25. Now, the Bible's perfect. The Bible has no error in it. People have imputed error to it through time, disappreciate it, say, oh, this isn't true, play these games. This is the perfect law of liberty. We can count on verses and things. Once we get it right, we can count on that, if you will. We can hold God to it. This is His word to us. This is His will. It's perfect. It's been perfectly brought so we can access it and have understanding of it. It is also used for mature believers, and I cited some verses dealing with mature believers. It is used of ultimate sanctification in Ephesians 4:13, which would make sense. That's when we are truly complete in every way, body, soul, and spirit, under ultimate sanctification, that perfection. That complete. Believers even in heaven are not complete. You know why? They don't have their resurrection body. And they don't have their SG3. But they don't have the resurrection body. That's ultimate sanctification. Sanctified means, I know it sounds like a big word to some, but it means to be set apart to God and put in a special category. Like you might have something that you only use on very special occasions. It might be an article of clothing. It might be a food item. It might be certain dishes. Whatever it is, that's very special. That's in a special category. So it's set apart. It's not common. The heavenly sanctuary and the avoidance of the sin of fear in 1 John 4:10. Which I'll read because I want to read it exactly as it is for the purpose. Fear is a killer. It's corrosive. Worry. We fight it as believers. Oh, hopefully we fight it. There's a way to fight it. But it says here, and this is love. No, I got the wrong verse. First John. For 18. That's way off. Sorry. There is no fear in love. Love is used here, and is a big word in John's letter, for being in fellowship. God is love. It's in his letter. God is love. All right. God is love. We're got the Holy Spirit. We're in fellowship. When we're in fellowship, then we're walking in love, and all that implies. But perfect love casts out fear. It's another way of saying the SDA is isolated, and that aspect of it, that function of it, fear, is isolated too. Fear is a killer. It explains a lot of things. Don't let fear run your life. Worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about what somebody's going to think, worrying about what somebody's going to do. They're just humans. Concern yourself with fear of God, respect for Him, and wanting to execute His will. That's clean fear. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears, that is, when he says the one who fears, it means someone who's just locked into it. Not just somebody that occasionally gets out of fellowship because they're worrying about something. Because that obviously does. It has someone who is just driven by fear. They are a slave to it. Well, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. So, for those who are not as yet completely convinced or enlightened, point six, on these matters, and the details of them, it takes time. Now, some of us progress faster, quicker than others for various reasons. Paul addresses them in verse 15b. In verse 15b, you have, as I said, the two sets of believers in the Philippian church. And there's two sets of believers here. There are believers that are convinced of these things. They live their lives with a view that this is what it's going to take for me to achieve my crown. And have an understanding and have a capacity, and this is what I want. And others who are not completely up to grade in that understanding. Paul addresses them in verse 15b. 7. Those who have a different attitude, a heteros attitude of a different kind, with respect to any one or more of the particulars, again laid down in verses 7 through 14, Paul assures them that God will reveal that also to you. You will come along. The lights will go on. It'll make sense and more sense to you. That's what he's saying here. So it's actually, he's encouraging these people. It's not some backhanded slap at them. Now, if people are just dragging their feet and they're not getting on the program, then that's another matter. The different attitude believers represent those who have not yet who are perfect or mature in their thinking. God brings believers along. He reveals stuff to us who are otherwise positive, but who lack exposure and growth to appreciate fully the things Paul has presented. Now, it's pretty obvious. That all that Paul has been using himself as an example. My life was a life of in the cosmos in a select area. I was having success. I was the big example at that time in my line of my career. I was. But when coming to the faith, I threw all that aside. I saw through all that. It adds nothing to me. It happened to me, but it means nothing. Can you imagine someone who had achieved much out here in the world and went positive and was even a celebrity coming to the truth? The attitude that they're going to have is, all that was just a waste of time. It didn't make me any better anything else. It contributed nothing. Zero. to the approbation of God towards me and where I needed to ultimately end up after this life is over. No. But people praise this stuff. Churches promote this stuff. They love celebrities in the cosmos that will go to their church. They feature them as if they were some sort of special person because they achieved something out there. Those people out there that are achieving things ought to be in here. That's where they ought to be. Oh, yay, yay, yay. Look at Heath. He's all this, all that. They ought to be in here. And those careers and those pursuits, in so very many cases, would have to be shut down. They can't do this. They can't humble themselves. They wouldn't do that. If you know, that's their God. That is their happiness. That is where they direct their energies, thoughts, their passion, everything. But if they turn to the truth, like we just studied with Moses in Egypt, we need an example of someone who is on top of the world. Celebrity-wise, accomplishment-wise, all the positives that people want to have. Moses had it. He was dealt these genetics. He was in this life, brought him into this glamorous realm of power and wealth and acclaim. He turned it off one day. He first of all turned it off in his head. He turned it off in his head. Doctrine and what God had and his plan was completely, for him, incompatible with being a high official, a high person in the royalty of Egypt. All I thought was ironic. Here is this achieving all the way. He didn't become Pharaoh, but he was way up there. He wasn't even an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. Well, that was a state secret. They didn't promote that. They just pretended like he was an Egyptian. But he wasn't an Egyptian. He was of the same blood as those people that had been enslaved up there. And they were still killing their babies. Boys. See, Moses figured this all out. It took all this doctrine. It took some time. You know, when he became fully of age, age 40, he's still a green, I can do it behind the ear believer. I can do good for my people. If I could just get them on my side, I'll get them out of here. Can you imagine? That's quite immature, isn't it? It's quite presumptuous. Just because you were good as an Egyptian leader of men and people, a great orator, he had all these things going for him. I have documentation in the New Testament and elsewhere of Moses' accomplishments there. He turned it off one day. He knew what it meant if he aligned his affections and life with those people. He knew that the Egyptians would not like that. And he would be their enemy. And he would turn his back on everything they did for him. Because serving God was more important than how those people ever felt. So when a believer is willing to come out from amongst them, so to speak, separate themselves, identify themselves with a doctrinally based church, and family and everything else that isn't wanting to come along with it, turn their back on it. That's what we're asked to do. We're asked to, because they don't want you doing this. They want you to stay in the same social deal, in the same family deal, the same all kind of stuff, and all that. Imagine shutting down a big career midstream. If you had to, move to a place where there's a local church, a functioning one. All this stuff is, I consider, loss. That's the mindset. And that is a mindset, by the way, that you have to maintain through the changes in your life. You may have to make some of those kind of changes along the way. And you have to be willing to do it. So, God brings believers along, point nine, who are otherwise positive, but lack exposure and growth to appreciate the things God has presented regarding that Paul has presented regarding his outlook on life and the afterlife. Because it's about getting yourself ready for the biggie, the ultimate, the final. Where are you going to stand? Are you going to stand tall at the Bema seat? He'll get to this here in these next verses. Because a bunch of believers have turned away. A bunch of believers who are otherwise good. So we'll have a third category. We have those that are really on top of their game. No, it wasn't, quote, easy for them in one sense. They lived in an environment that expected people to conform. We live in an environment that expects you to conform. And we are told not to be conformed to the cosmos. And their priorities and all their other stuff that goes along with it. Be you not conformed, but be you transformed. Through intake of Bible doctrine, you have a different destiny. And to make the most of that and the blessings associated with it, you have to be willing and to make whatever sacrifices you've got to make. You don't know tomorrow or next year or whatever what kind of sacrifice you might have to make and still maintain your attitude and your positive volition. We've all had disappointments. We've had all kinds of things go on around us. We just have to keep churning forward like you did the first day. I told a believer this in a tragic event in their life, a big event, who came to me for encouragement. And I said, what's changed? Doctrine has not changed. You've suffered a setback, but not one that you should let affect your attitude towards God or His plan. Your stories are once in a while as stupid as stuff. Well, I was into God until this happened to me. What? So you are blasting. You're saying God let me down and threw me overboard and let this happen to me, so I'm not going to respect God anymore. What an idiot. That is complete. Look at all the people we studied in the Bible and the bad stuff that happened to them. Christians, positive ones. And they just kept moving forward. Like some of you, any number of you have done in various ways. And will be called upon to do so. You sat down and considered the alternative. I'm sure you did. The alternative was unacceptable. I could blame somebody. You know, I could do this, I could do that. All that silly stuff. I'm not going there. That's why the Lord said, when you're setting out on this thing, you need to count the cost. In other words, if you're going to stand trial, you need to realize what you may have to ante up. Oh, I'm not going to go. Oh no, then you're not willing to ante up. Ante up means that you make whatever sacrifice, cut your losses, and roll forward, and you will have the support of positive volition, but more than that, you'll have the support of God. That said, point 10, nevertheless, that's kind of the way nevertheless is here. That said, that's the way I would translate it, just because it hit me as here in this verse. However means we have the expression. That said, preceding verse. That said, Paul admonishes the members of the Philippian church, all of them as a whole now, all who are on board, to keep on living by the same standard to which he and them, have attained. He includes himself in this. Let's keep on board with this. Things happen. We've got, I believe, a very short amount of time to, quote, sweat this out, to get to the rapture. We're in a we're very blessed in that regard. Things are, as I don't have to tell you, things in the world are coming apart. Insanity is greater than ever, and it doesn't end. And even if you don't try to be exposed to it, it's like, oh my gosh, this, it's to be expected. That's why this is bringing the wrath of God on the nations. So we've got to be willing to do what we got to do. If you have these things, no, you can't mess with that. If I had to give that up, then oh, you can forget that. Then you're not in it. You're not in it. Anything can happen. The only thing you do is you keep yourself afloat. You can be the real strong believer today. Tomorrow could be another story. Now, if you don't want this, and you got your eyes on the cosmos, that's coming up. You love the things of the cosmos, and you want to pursue that, and everyone tells you how talented you are and all that crap. You're just another talented idiot who is not glorifying God. They will tell you in school, they'll tell you in churches, they'll tell you everywhere, oh, this is what you need to do. I need to do what God wants me to do. People will give you all kinds of advice. Well, this is who you ought to marry. This is who, please. We're going to do what God wants us to do. This is a battle. And we have to work out our own salvation, phase two wise, with fear and trembling. Because we're all targets to try to drag us down one way or another. I'm not trying to, in one way I am trying to scare you. The fear and trembling means I don't want to stumble on this thing. Not now. Not ever, but not now. And your own worst enemy isn't the devil, it's you. So he admonishes them this isn't complicated, by the way. This is not complicated. That's the beauty of it, too. This isn't some complicated. Yes, some doctrines and some things are tricky to figure out, some verses and things. Yes, I understand that. But the Christian life, it is not complicated. And if people try to make it complicated, they're not doing you a service. It's the simplicity of faith we have in Christ. How to be saved isn't complicated. How to get in fellowship isn't complicated. Now, we need to understand the underpinning principles involved and become confident in these things and what it takes to go to maturity. Learn this information and apply it. And know what can work against it. In other words, not to slack off, but to uphold what we all have attained, regardless of our status with respect to maturity. To just keep plugging on. Don't be discouraged if you're new to the game. Don't worry about that part. We all had to come on board at some time. Funny thing is, someone's going to get the crown real easy, I suspect. But they don't have all that SG3, and but God isn't going to hold that against them. It's what you do. And some people are not going to get the crown, and they've been doing it for years and got all this SG3. So they're going to have all these little differences. You can work that out in your head. The good one is to have a lot of SG3 plus the crown, obviously, like Paul or one of those people. Can you imagine the kind of rewards they're going to have? But he says, you know, you too can get this prize. This isn't reserved for apostles or, you know, good and bad examples, verses 17 through 19. Brethren, now that's the call them. We're fellow members. I emphasize this. You know, we have the human family and we have a spiritual family. I hold the general spiritual family on a whole at a very higher standard than general flesh and blood. There's no comparison. Many of you have brothers and sisters and this and that. They're not on doctrine. And if you're on doctrine, you're a lot closer, or you ought to be, to royal family here. And they're your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you will always be related to them. This other will kind of fade away. You might know that was your natural brother in time, and so forth and everything. But more importantly is the family that does not dissolve and go away because of death and other factors. Brethren, join in following my example. And observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So he's saying two things here. Also, we need people who are examples of what the Christian way of life is supposed to be all about. We do. As we come along spiritually, and then maybe someday you become the example. And some of you are the example. Others are people that you look up to as examples. Maybe when you were young spiritually in the faith, you looked at certain people. You looked at certain people. And you were smart enough to realize, yeah, that person. See, it's like in life. If you're trying to achieve something in life, some goal, some objective, some learning how to do something, and you're that kind of a person, you will find the person, the fellow, the individual. That person knows his stuff. He's not full of hot air. That is a person that knows his trade. He knows this. And you'll run into people that, you know, they're okay and they're this and that. But then there's that person that you latch on to that really knows the game. And you say to yourself, I'm interested in that and I want to be, I look up to that person. Their habits, their attitudes, their various things, their expertise, you know, I want to be a sponge. I want to know what they know. I mean, that happens in life. It could be someone emulating a parent, like Timothy to Paul. Paul was it was a father figure to him. He just zeroed in on Paul. Well, people get a pick. He picked Paul. Well, he did good. He was his own person, his own personality. That's not an issue. He saw in Paul. He followed his example. He saw all the things that happened to Paul, and he emulated these things in his own life. So he had an example from the time he joined Paul's team. And Paul saw in him something too. Anyway, we're going to talk about being an example. Join in following my example. All right. The word here, the noun, sum, all those M's in it. Sum means with. And mimetes, like mimic. Mimic. It's like our idea of mimic. One who imitates the example of another. Now, obviously, the other, in this case, has to be somebody worth imitating. My example. He holds himself up. I am an example. I am an example. A living human being, living under doctrine, that you saw me in your presence, I was there with you, and now you hear about things, etc., and how I handle it. So I'm in a, join in following my example. Present imperative, become something, genomai. Join in following my example is a good translation. Brethren, that's actually the word order of the Greek. It's in the front of the English language. But anyway, join in following my example, brethren. Pay attention, observe. Present imperative, skopeo. Pay attention. Observe. Be an observer. Observe those who walk. Present participle, plural, peripateo. Peripateo is the Greek verb for walking. The peri part is around. Walk around. And it's therefore used metaphorically for their manner of life. Who walk according to the pattern. According to the pattern, The word pattern is tupas. Just as you have, keep on having in us. He brings it around to the circle. You follow my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Us, I assume, is the missionary team. The leaders are out there, without which there would have been anything. Now, in verses 18 and 19, Paul directs his attention towards another group. They're outside the church now. They were once with it, but they aren't anymore. And he has to refer to these people because they are a bad example of what you don't and where you don't want to go. For many walk, there's the same verb. This is reversionism, we would call it. And he uses the word many. There's a lot of them that have since become spiritual casualties. Of whom I often told you, I mention these people from time to time. These people that went away from the faith. I mention these people. I mention them because you need to realize they exist and they that's your bad example. Don't want to go there. Ooh. Of whom I often told you. He has repeatedly or frequently, the adverb polycus, frequently or often, he took occasion to mention these people. And now, once again, tell you, even weeping, present participle, cleo. This is the only place in the New Testament where Paul mentions the fact that he shed tears. There are people that he was very close to and had a lot of promise, and they went under. And he was close to them, and it hurts. It hurts. It isn't pleasant to see people crash and burn, as any number of you can well attest, having been close to people, situations, and see them, maybe even the person that brought you to Bible class and was an example and kind of tutored you along and introduced you to Bible doctrine and exhorted you when you were trying to get your spiritual legs going and make your commitment to the truth. And then that person went under. It hurts because you had an attachment. You have an investment. You invested time and energy. You had good fellowship with them in your life. You were close to them. You shared things. And you had to watch them commit spiritual suicide. Wipe themselves out. Nothing you could say, nothing you could do would change your mind. And you had to sit there and watch a spiritual loved one die. I'm not talking about physical death either. That's fine if you're going to heaven and everything's in order. That's yay. It's sadness, but it's yay. You know what I mean. He says, and now tell you even weeping. So it wasn't like he was indifferent to these people. And then he describes them. Again, this isn't Paul just, throwing rocks at them and I'm going to get back. No. This is what they are. This is what they've become. Enemies of the cross of Christ. He isn't talking about unbelievers. He isn't crying over the world of unbelievers like some idiot. Shed any tears over those people. I'm talking about, we're not just talking about negative, we're talking about special negative believers, ones that were positive and were going spiritually. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Another way of saying enemies of God, because the cross is our rallying point. What Jesus did there and all that implies. Now he describes this, and we'll get into this next time, whose end is destruction. What kind of a destruction? Whose God is their stomach. Not because they're gluttons and eat a lot. And whose glory is their shame. Who set their mind on earthly things. We'll pick this up tomorrow night. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Continue to bless our efforts and our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.